Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas. Want to welcome everybody to the show. Hosting tonight, along with myself, the man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you doing?
What's happening, man?
Nothing.
Yeah, missing from the lineup is J.J. Nunn, not here tonight. If all is well, we'll see him next Tuesday.
Yes,
And just sneaking in the door. Surprised you guys didn't lock him out.
We tried.
Stuck in. Justin, how you doing, man? Justin Griffith. You going to be on the mic tonight? Cool deal. I appreciate it. That'd be great.
So does JJ.
Yeah. So, hey, yo, we got a great show lineup for you tonight. Tonight's guest, Chet Christner with SpeedShiftTV.com. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me again. Ooh, I'm a little louder.
Yeah, I think.
Sorry.
I'm working there.
How
about that?
Test.
Got him a little powerful on the mic there.
Yeah, you guys forgot who you're dealing with here. Yeah. You used to being behind the mic, so.
Yes.
But of course, I said SpeedShift TV. I'm assuming you're still with them because
yep.
The truck does say SpeedShiftTV.com on it.
So. Oh yeah, yeah. We're entered. We're actually in our fourth year broadcasting. So yeah, moving right along. We're busy. We did 190. Well, let me change that. We had 195 nights of racing on our schedule this year.
Wow.
But we lost 33 to rainouts. Last year we lost 5. This year we lost 33 to rainouts.
So are you saying you believe in global warming? Or?
I believe it. It was a very damp spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, sure. 33 dates from rain.
Yeah,
but,
it was crazy. And that, well, and oddly enough, 3 of those came in Arizona. And
interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
pretty weird.
Hopefully a little better weather next year for us.
Are those rescheduled or are they just canceled?
Some of them were rescheduled. Some of them, actually, I should say a vast majority weren't. But, yeah, there was a few rescheduled there. And I think we ended up, I'll have to go back through and count, but we had 160-some nights that we actually got in.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's a lot of work, a lot of nights. And I'm not going to harp on these rain days, but how hard does that affect your guys' schedules? I mean, you guys try to schedule out as far as you can, obviously. And
we schedule as far as, like, traveling. That's right now we're putting our 2018 schedule together.
Right.
I say that we're putting it together. Most of it's already in place. And then we'll add some shows and different things like that. But our travel, you know, we book our travel, our hotels, and all that stuff. And that's all paid for in advance. And if an event is going to happen, a lot of times when they rain it out, it happens on the day of the event. So we're already there.
Right.
So we've already traveled.
Spent
we're
money,
already in a hotel. We're all, yeah. And
that
we
doesn't
just,
help.
Yeah, we just take the hit on that. That's just part of the business
right.
that we're in.
Right.
So,
yeah. You know, and that's part of it. I mean, you're never going to always be perfect or always have the.
No, you can't control the weather. If we could, we wouldn't be sitting here talking on rain. We'd be out on our yacht.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If we could predict all that. Hey, some of us might know, a lot of us know who Chet is, but, you know, some of us might not. Of course, Chet Christner, former, I'm going to say, LVMS bullring announcer and local here in Vegas. You consider yourself still a local?
I am.
You
it's
housed here?
I am, but I go on the road, actually, usually after the cup race in the spring. I go on the road, and then I get back the end of October, 1st of November for the Duel in the Desert. But that will change next year. Is this Duel in the Desert was actually the last event that I'll announce for Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
No way.
So, yeah. It's just we're too busy with Speed Shift, and
wow.
I knew coming into this event, I had talked to – actually, I wasn't going to be here this year for the Duel in the Desert because we do the Oval Nationals out at Paris Auto Speedway, huge USAC race out there. And I was going to go to the Oval Nationals, but they called my buddy Toby Cruz that runs Marshalltown Speedway and 141 Speedway up in Francis Creek, Wisconsin, and asked him to prep the track this year. And he and Dave Wolf were coming out, and I talked to Toby. Toby said, why don't you just stick around another year? And I said, well, okay, let's give it a shot. And so I ended up working with him on track prep for 3 weeks leading into the Duel in the Desert. And we had a really good duel, but this was my last one. So this is my 10th Duel in the Desert I was down.
Is that crazy? 10th one, huh?
Yep.
Well, you know, that shows progress. I guess, you know, that's something that's a good thing, not for people who, you know, don't want to hear you. It's people who...
Yeah, well, I'm sure there are some people that were happy to see me yell.
We got a ton of emails said, telling us how happy they are. Just kidding.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. It's a little sad, you know. I have invested a big part of my life in that that event in particular. I mean, obviously, I was at the Bullring for 7 or 8 years,
wow,
which was huge to leave that behind. But now it just seems like I've cut all ties. That sounds horrible. Not really, because I still have a lot of friends out there, and I'll still be out there. And I just don't have time anymore. We're just so busy with Speed Shift TV that it just something had to go.
Well, you know, that's part of progress, part of you know, another chapter.
Part of growing up.
Exactly. We don't. Some of us don't like to grow up like Gary, but Justin's still growing up. I don't know where I stand.
A little at a time.
But you know, Justin.
Very little.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. He looks familiar to me for some reason.
I think I've seen you around.
It's just the glasses. Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things where you can't predict. It just. Luckily, it's a good thing, you know.
It is.
So busy, and are you getting more involved in the Speed Shift TV?
I've been very
behind the scenes.
Yeah,
or?
I've been very involved. It actually, we started Speed Shift TV. Darren Shanley was a huge, huge driving force behind Speed Shift TV as far as getting it up and running and everything. And it was about maybe 4 or 5 months that I worked up at 141 Speedway in Francis Creek, Wisconsin, as a general manager up there. And then I was able to go full-time with Speed Shift as well. So it's kind of been us two from the word go. And then Haley Pratt, which is his fiance right now, but they're getting married in December, so congratulations to them. But she's been with us the whole time too, but kind of
kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah, way behind the scenes for the first year and a half of that. And now she's come on, and she's just about full-time with us. And Nate Hartman is our main camera guy, but then we work with so many good people. Loud Pedal TV, I don't know if you ever heard of Loud Pedal TV out of California. It's not, I know you guys are in a different genre, but they cover a lot of sprint car racing and that.
Okay.
We got hooked up with them. There's a bunch of camera guys out in the Midwest now, and it's just you know, Kyler Shaw from Fast Four Media, who's located up in California, kind of Northern California area. And just, we work with a lot of different people, and we've basically come from one camera setup where we had one camera and maybe me announcing to now we have the ability to do 3 simultaneous multi-camera broadcasts anywhere in the United States. So or Canada. We haven't been to Canada yet. But
you wish you could announce them all, right?
I do, actually, yeah. That's the best part is I get to just talk for a living.
Right. Are there any other – I mean, how many other, I guess –
I'm the only Speed Shift TV announcer.
Okay.
If we're running 3 different broadcasts, then we utilize Track Talent. If the other ones are series, if there's a series announcer or whatever, we'll use them at the other shows.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know, we'll end up at a show like the Tuscarora 50 at Port Royal Speedway, which is a phenomenal facility back in central Pennsylvania. I produced that show. I was there, but I was producing the show. I wasn't announcing. So sometimes run camera.
Do you find some of that more interesting or just kind of nice?
It's
change?
Nice. It breaks up I don't want to say the monotony because announcing for me is never monotonous, but it
good.
Is nice
yeah.
to do something different, you know, and
right.
just take a different role.
Well, it helps kind of open your eyes to different angles of what
oh, yeah.
you do and what, you know, other people do for you and with you.
And it gives
you
a much better appreciation for the job that they're trying to do under pressure and stuff. So
you should just trade with them. Say, okay, you do some announcing now.
They won't do that. I keep trying to talk them into that. And neither one of them will do it. Darren has a great monster truck voice and that's all he has. So.
Save it for the monster truck shows. Right? Now you know, that's cool. That, you know, what did the LVMS think about you kind of not?
They understood.
You know,
we kind of saw it. Going this direction, I mean, this past year, I wasn't able to announce the cup race for him
because
it overlapped with, we do the Beatrice Spring Nationals, Beatrice, Nebraska, and it's a huge IMCA race, big dirt track race, and we broadcast that, and because the NASCAR schedule is based off of where President's Day falls on the calendar, it overlapped with the Beatrice Spring Nationals this year, 2017, and so I had to go to Beatrice. That's a huge broadcast
that's one of your,
for us.
Your big shows.
And so I wasn't able to announce the cup race for them. I haven't announced the truck race out here for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have been announcing the truck race and some drag racing back at Gateway Motorsports Park in St. Louis, which Chris Blair, who used to be a vice president out here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, now runs Gateway Motorsports Park. and it's a great, great multi-purpose facility.
They have similar, like some asphalt.
Yeah, they have a great drag strip. They set a lot of records out there. I saw a pro mod car go 272 mile per hour.
No way.
Yeah, wow. It's insane. But anyhow, great drag strip. They have a kart track. They have a road course. They have the speedway, which they just got IndyCar there this year. And then they do all kinds of stuff and drift racing and different things like that in the pits. They have an off-road track. And, it's a lot going on there. Wow. It's a great facility. If you're ever in that neighborhood in St. Louis, it actually sits in Illinois, but it's right outside of St. Louis. Visit with it. But, yeah, I was able to announce back there. But this year I couldn't even help him out because we were so busy with speed
wow.
shift. So it's just, you have to focus on your business at some point.
Right.
And, yeah. So,
well, you try to do as much as you can until you figure out, hey, I can't do everything. So I got to figure out where some of my priorities are. Obviously,
exactly.
And, unfortunate for LVMS, but great for speedshifttv.com. I mean, that's amazing. Of course, LVMS lost Hannah Rickerts recently, unfortunately for them. But, congrats to her.
Gary and I were just talking about that before we came on the radio. But, yeah, congratulations, Hannah. And that is a dream of hers is to go that direction. And she obviously has a background in drag racing, has been involved with drag racing, but helped out at the bullring, was over there. And she's such a great person
and a great
personality. And she's so good on the microphone with stuff like that. And it is definitely NHRA gained a valuable asset whenever she went aboard with
them. Oh, absolutely. And that's something that, she's expressed, kind of her past and her life is basically in NHRA, and to see her be able to get that is amazing. And, and that's just part of it, part of the industry here, I guess. You just got to do what you can, do what you like to do, like yourself. Who else can say they love their job? And, few of us.
Very few.
Should I say, I don't know if I said I love my job or not, but a few of you guys can say that. Justin's shaking his head. No, he didn't.
But
you're a young kid, so you got a long ways to go a lot of jobs to not like on your way. So hopefully you'll find your niche too. But, I guess with speedshifttv.com, what's the process? Let's say you're a track out there. You guys have a full schedule, but there's always room to add
in.
Oh,
it is. Yeah, so. Without a doubt. And that's one of the things that we tend to focus on. Specials, big special events and different things like that. If it's a multi-day event, it usually works better. For instance, the Wild West Modified Shootout Speed Week up in Oregon, Northern California and Oregon is last year it was like 9 races in 10 days or something like that.
Oh,
so
crazy.
We tend to focus on those type of events. And for a track, if they're interested, they can just on our website, they can submit an event that they want covered.
Okay.
And there's no cost to the track. That's the craziest thing about Speedshift TV, the way we work, it's like the stupidest business model in the world because we're a marketing company that actually pays you to market your event and your track. And, but it's all pay-per-view. And then the pay-per-view, once the expenses are covered for Speedshift, then the profit is split with the track. It's simple.
Can't get any simpler than that.
No risk. Yeah. And if it rains out, like we had talked about, that's on us. That's not on the track. We don't go say to the track that, hey, we spent all this money to get here to this thing and it rained out, because they can't control the weather. They have risk too. They're paying the person doing the event. And so, it's incredible. But, talking about the marketing, we just did the Turkey Night Grand Prix out of Ventura Raceway, a big USAC midget race that finished off the USAC midget season. And for the first time in Speedshift TV history, for just one night of the broadcast, we had viewers in all 50 U.S. states, as well as a couple other countries in that.
Wow.
But, we've had like 39 and 44 states before, but never all 50 states. And that blows my mind.
I guess that's, part of your guys' efforts, getting the name out of yourself, but also USAC and the track.
Right, and that's the thing, is we're trying to promote the sanction, we're trying to promote the track. What it comes down to, and it is myself and Darren and Nate and Haley and that, we're just race fans. And so we want to see racing, we want it to improve. We want it to be around forever because we love it. I just love all types of – well, you guys know that. You've known me for a long time, and I just love racing.
Right.
And that's really what we're trying to do, is just promote racing. And the way to do that now is online. It's through social media. It's through web pages and stuff like what you guys are doing, because it reaches, and sometimes, a new audience. A lot of times it's a it's an audience that's around racing, but you gain new fans. Like, you will pick up new fans by doing this. And we had our top video of the year. We do a top 20 video countdown for Christmas on our Facebook page. And our top video of the year has been viewed almost 1 million times.
That is cool.
And that's
insane.
I mean, that's, yeah. And that's
great.
Yeah, it's great.
Who decides what video is used for?
We actually, for the top 20, yeah. It's just based on the number of views.
Okay.
And so there's no voting. Oh. Yeah, because everybody's like, oh, it's favoritism.
How do you do
favoritism.
That? Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not. It's just based on the number of views. And then social media will tell you what's popular, sure, and what's not. And so we just run a quick little report that gives you the number of views.
Yep.
We take the top 20, and poof, there's our countdown. It's that simple.
That's simple. Nobody's,
yep,
got their fingers in it.
Nope.
Nothing like that. It's basically viewer's choice. So
yeah,
that's
exactly, throughout the course of the year, which it's a little bit of an unfair advantage for those that are in January, because they have all year to kind of build momentum. But the reality of it is Turkey Night Grand Prix, the race highlight for Matt Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson going after each other there for 98 laps. That's not, well, almost gave it away. I'll tell you anyhow. It's going to be like number four.
Wow.
It'll be a number four,
wow,
video, because it's over 500,000 now, I think.
Is there some of those videos that get up there that you think, wow, I didn't think that one was going to make it?
Oh, yeah.
You see some other ones where, wow,
I thought
one was going to be the.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Stuff like that. It's like that with not just videos, but like pictures. You'll line up this, like, we take a lot of photos and stuff and put online. And you'll be like, this is going to be an awesome picture. Oh, look at that. It's a little kid holding a flower next to a race car or whatever, you know. And you post that picture, and it gets like 5 likes.
Right.
And then you take a picture of a dog walking,
right,
through the pits, and it gets 5,000 likes. And you're like, really? Really? The dog?
Yeah.
No rhyme or reason.
You didn't see the sweater the dog was wearing.
Yeah.
You know? No, that's funny. Yeah, you know, hey, you never know. You think you can predict viewers or fans or anybody's going to like, and it's just not anything like that.
The only thing that's consistent is good racing.
Right.
Good racing always is rewarded well on social media, and good effort. It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that wins either. We had a video of Brian Nail lost the left front wheel off, and he was racing just for a transfer spot and got a transfer spot. And that video is from, I think, a year ago, and that is our most viewed video of all time. And I think it's at like 2.5 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys keep those posted on SpeedShiftTV.com?
Everything stays up on Facebook. We have a YouTube page where we put a lot of videos up there too, but every race that we broadcast goes into our replay archives, and then you could, it's like $59.95 for a year's access. And there's 400, I just counted them. There's 408 races in there.
Wow.
And 408 nights of racing, I should say, because a night includes, you know, four divisions or five divisions where, but yeah, 408 nights of racing. And by the end of the year, see, before this radio show used to end my season, and not so much now. We have three more events yet to go. Yeah,
are they some of the bigger events, like going into the holiday season?
Yeah, we have the Junior Knepper 55, which is an indoor midget race in DeCoin, Illinois, and then we have two events that are surprise announcement. I can't really talk about, but it's
okay.
Something a little bit different for us, but. That's new this year that we haven't broadcast
before. Without giving it away, that's something like an area that you guys are focusing on trying to get more into, or just happen to be
just
a surprise?
Yeah, we're just kind of diversifying just a little bit.
We like to hear that.
Yeah.
Diversification is not bad. You know, you never know which direction something's going to take off unless you know.
Exactly.
You know, really try it. So.
Yeah. That was me kicking the desk. I'm sorry. I'm very fidgety. I'm ADHD and I'm fidgety. I got it. You see me over here playing with this cord. I'm kicking the desk.
Well, look at what Gary's got going on there. He's fidgety too. That's his.
We're on the verge of a feather.
Don't ask.
We post that once a year.
Yes.
Get a new one every year. So.
I think it started a phone number down here.
Somebody you didn't like because you covered it up a lot.
Pretty impressive, though. Like a Rorschach test or something.
Well, he gets more fidgety going into November, December when racing stops for most people. So.
Well, we don't have a whole lot to talk about. This is what happened.
My pen fell apart. Look.
You used it so much, your pen fell apart. Hey, so with the races that you go to, do you see with the dirt racing, obviously, is the majority of the races that you do. The car counts and things like that, are they good? I mean, you see them out there. You see a lot of car counts. You see a lot of fan base.
We do.
In the stands.
And but again, we deal mainly with special events. But speaking of car counts, this was an interesting thing that we've kind of obviously we pay attention to it for the race we broadcast. And I'm going to use – I talk about Marshalltown Speedway a lot, but that's kind of a home base for me in the summer, and obviously – my good friend Toby Cruz runs that track, and we're involved with it. We're at Marshalltown Speedway. It's the only track that we at least record at weekly, and sometimes broadcast just weekly racing because it's so good there. But they had, I think they averaged around 124 cars a week is what they averaged in four divisions at Marshalltown Speedway. Yeah. But what's crazy about that is out of, if you look across the all 124 car average, there's only like 26 of those cars that made every weekly race.
Oh, interesting.
And so things have changed. It used to be that guys would run for points and they would go to every weekly race, and it's not like that anymore. Now they kind of pick and choose and they run some specials. They travel a little bit. They take a week off. They go to the lake with the family. And it's, so there's been a shift in that regard. But as far as the tracks, if you have a good track and you put on a good show and you give them a good track to race on, the cars are there. Port Royal is one that comes up. Kokomo in Indiana, Kokomo, Indiana, if you've ever been to that place, oh my goodness, that place is so awesome. But, you know, the fan counts are up, the car counts are up and that, but they, I don't know if they have the same trends or not, where it's not necessarily the same cars every week, but they always have cars every week.
Is that based on like the area? You got a lot of other tracks in the surrounding area, so they're able to travel to that particular track?
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot different in the Midwest than it is out here in the West. And that's, I think about that too, because like we do the Indiana Midget Week and Indiana Sprint Week, and there's so many good tracks in Indiana, and they're all within 2 hours of each other. Or if you go to Central PA down in Pennsylvania Posse territory, if you stay in Harrisburg, you can be at great tracks within 2.5 hours. You can go to five or six really, really, really good tracks. Mm-hmm. And people will complain about driving 3 hours back there. And I'm like, you have no idea. You need to move to Las Vegas because you'll find yourself driving five, six hours.
Sometimes.
And that's what it's like. Bakersfield Speedway. I love Bakersfield. And my buddy Jerry Miracle, who got me into announcing many, many moons ago. But Jerry and I used to hop in the truck and drive to Bakersfield just to watch a weekly race and then drive back the same night.
Right.
And that's 4.5 or 5 hours one way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we thought nothing of it. Like it was nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, in the Midwest, if you tell them that, they're like, what?
We could hit, like, 15 tracks on the way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. When's the last time you've been up to Bakersfield since you mentioned Bakersfield?
We were just there. We just did the November Classic, the USAC National Midgets.
Oh,
we do a lot of stuff with USAC.
Okay.
Well, no, that was the USAC. It was National Midgets went back. It was a 17-year hiatus since they'd been there.
No kidding.
And that was on Tuesday, and then the Tuesday before – Thanksgiving week, and then Ventura Raceway is where the Turkey Night Grand Prix was. Yeah,
you saying there was a Tuesday race?
Yeah, I think it was a Tuesday.
Wow.
No, maybe it was a Friday. I might be mixed up. I think it might have been Friday.
One of those dates.
Because Turkey Night was on Wednesday, Thursday. I don't know why I said Tuesday. Yeah, it would have been Friday.
So
I get all discombobulated. Like, I have no concept of what day of the week is right now. Today's Tuesday. That's where that came from.
It is Tuesday. Tuesday was in there somewhere. You know, I guess speaking of that, I mean, you still are a Vegas resident?
Yeah, I
kind of. You still call yourself a Vegas resident?
I am, and my address is in Las Vegas. Well, it's in Henderson, but yeah, Las Vegas.
But you still, I mean, obviously you're traveling majority of the time. I mean,
yeah, and again, we touch on Jerry and Debbie Miracle kind of took me in. Whenever we decided we were going to start Speed Shift here, whenever I decided I was going to go on the road and just try announcing all the time, I was talking to Jerry because we went to races. He was always with me at the track, and you guys know him from out at Pahrump and stuff and Boring. And I told him, I said, I'm going to have to get an apartment or something. I have to have a home base. And he and his wife, Debbie, their daughters are both older. They're married. They're moved out of the house. And he said, we have a big house. He said, why don't you just take one of the rooms and just take the room. You have your own bathroom. You got your own room. You can put your own furniture in it and stuff. And so I ended up, whenever I decided I was going to do this, I went whole hog. I sold my house here in Vegas because I owned a house. Sold my house. I quit teaching. And I sold all my furniture and everything, just enough to furnish one bedroom.
Wow.
And so I have a room at Debbie and Jerry's, the House of Miracles is what I call it. And but they were very – if it wouldn't be for them, I don't think I could do this.
You know, that's a huge commitment because, you know, by doing that, you know, hey, this is something I want to do, the direction I want to go. I mean, that's – pretty big commitment.
Well, that's I also have to say this. I have that same, I have two friends that live in Maryland, and I have the same arrangement with them too. Sean and Lori Snyder have been my friends forever and ever and ever. And they were kind enough that she has a hair salon, and they actually
did
built
it. Did she do your hair?
Yeah,
your
she did. Yeah, she trimmed my beard for me. But they,
I'm sorry.
She's better than this. But they actually built a bedroom on the back of the hair salon.
That's
so I have the same arrangement out there, and it's it's furnished with my furniture from my parents' house, who they're in assisted living. Well, my father passed, but had to sell their house, but I took my furniture and put in that room, and so I have a room back there too.
So you got both
in the country, and it's, they're both friends. You know what I mean? Like it's they're both my families, and it's just So technically, though, I'm homeless.
Staying in a bunch of hotels.
How often are you actually? I mean, do you feel lost at all? Like, hey, where is my actual? Your home is, I guess,
in the camper.
Everywhere.
I have a travel trailer.
Yeah,
I have a travel trailer that we use for a production studio at the racetrack. And so whenever I leave here, it's in storage in Beatrice, at the fairgrounds in Beatrice. And so whenever I leave here to go to Beatrice Spring Nationals, I'll pick it up, and I live in that pretty much full time through the whole summer, and then I'll drop it off in Beatrice on my way back out here for the fall.
So you're a loner.
I am.
Very
much so. It's hard to date whenever you're living
like,
in a camper.
Where do you live?
Never in the same place.
I'm not sure where I live. Next week I'll be living out.
It's on a date 2 months from now whenever I come back through this town.
Now, hey, you know, that's a lifestyle I think a lot of people would love to be in, you know, especially doing what you love to do. I mean, that's tough. But, you know, hey, do you find like the different seasons, like let's say winter, you're pulled more drawn towards the west, and then summer you're back towards the east?
Without a doubt. Yeah, our falls are spent in the southwest. Arizona, we do a lot at Canyon Speedway Park. We do Arizona Speedway. We do a couple events down there. California, obviously, we just had a few races out there.
Is that by design, or is that just something that
that's just weather?
Demand?
That's fall into racing. Yeah. Okay. And then in the spring, we go to Alabama, Talladega Short Track. We're down there for the Talladega Ice Bowl. It's like 4 days of late model racing. And then Bubba Raceway Park in Florida, Ocala, Florida, which is a great area of Florida. We'll be down there for a little more than a month. And we have we work with the All-Star Circuit of Champions, the Wing 410 Sprint Cars. USAC is down there, Neesmith Late Models. And I think this year the fourth weekend is Power Eye Midgets, maybe. I don't know. But anyhow, we're at Bubba Raceway Park there in Florida. And then we come back out here, kind of do a couple races in Arizona, gets gathered up, and head to the Midwest for the summer.
You name it all these.
Well,
how do you keep up with all the different types of race cars and race series and race, you name it,
track,
I mean, you've probably seen it.
Yeah, it's
does it make any difference announcing? I mean,
it does. And that's one of the things that I enjoy about what I do is I don't deal with the same cars all the time.
Wow.
There's a lot of variety. And I like that myself. And that's what sometimes you'll go into a track and it'll be an announcer there that just works with one series or with just that local area. And he knows everybody. He knows a lot about everybody. And I'll feel bad about myself. I'm like, geez, I didn't know how to pronounce that driver's name, or I didn't know something about that driver. But then I remind myself, well, last week, you know, I was in Oregon and I was announcing cars in Oregon. And a week before that, I was in Pennsylvania. So I don't feel so bad about this Iowa track that I, you know, and I just laugh it off, but I learn how to pronounce it, and then I remember it, and then we move on.
I'm sure if you don't pronounce it right, you'll hear about it.
Oh, yeah. that's the thing. I've always been open with everyone who listens to Speed Shift TV to, if you hear me mispronounce a name, whether it be a place name or a person's name or something of that nature, tweet at us. Tweet at Speed Shift TV and say, hey, it's pronounced this way, but make sure you know. Don't tell me it's something and be wrong,
right?
Because you think it's supposed to be announced like that. Because that happens. That happens frequently too.
Did they ask you if you're from?
Sometimes I know I don't want to say a lot. That makes it sound like a bragging, but I know a lot of different how to pronounce things.
You've been around. You obviously your teaching background is geography, right?
It is.
My question.
You have a very good memory.
Yeah.
Wow.
Only tonight. Only one night when I do the research. Hey, speaking of your teaching career, is that when you quit teaching? Did you quit to just do the racing?
Yep.
That's didn't just happen, huh?
No, it was. I had an offer to work for another company, and he said you can go on the road with me full time, benefits the whole nine yards. And I said, you know what? Let's try it. And so I actually And I'm about to out myself on something that I said. I told my family and my friends in that I took a year's leave of absence from teaching, and you can't do that. You have to resign.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
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 No. You just don't want him to tell me, hey, you're crazy. Do not quit your steady job, right?
There's no leave of absence. You resign your position. So I actually filled out resignation to the school district and worked for that other company for only about 5 months, and I figured out that that wasn't for me, that it just wasn't. I had different ideas on how to do things.
Did you feel like maybe you shouldn't have quit your day
no,
job when you
never,
did that? You just
nope,
always look forward and knew that.
No. And I've my entire life I've been cars and motorcycles. And my dad actually was into motorcycles and that. And I've been around motorized equipment
right.
my whole life, tractors and everything else. And I love it. I absolutely positively love it. And I was getting a little burnout on teaching. Class sizes were getting huge. There was a lot of bull crap that you had to go through as far as paperwork and stuff.
Kids don't
and,
respect you. They don't have the attention span that they used to have.
How long were you a teacher?
11 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 11 years, taught middle school, which – so today I go to Raising Cane's. Am I allowed to say Raising
Cane's?
Yes. And we go to Raising Cane's for lunch down there, and a former student of mine is the manager
that's
in
funny.
The store, and he's like, Mr. Christner. And I was like, hey, I remember you. And I did remember him. And he's wearing a wedding band.
That is funny.
And
oh,
I was like, what? Married?
Oh,
really? Because I had him in like the 8th grade.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you resign, that's probably what you remember is, hey, these kids are still at that age and all that, and you start seeing them out.
Yeah.
In the...
But yeah, you ask about it, and that's I've never once regretted getting out of teaching. And that, actually, this year was the year that I would have had to renew my teaching license. And I knew whenever I got the notification in the mail, I was like, man, that ain't happening.
That ain't what you want.
Nope.
Well, you know, it's good to look forward. And, hey, you make decisions and you just roll with the decisions you make. No decision is usually a bad decision. It's just a different one, you know.
Exactly. That's very well put. You know,
but,
I might steal that from you.
Yeah, there you go. we'll copyright that. No, no cool. Now, how about on the fan side on Speed Shift TV? Let's say, hey, you know, I heard of this race coming up. My family lives back east or something, and I've heard Speed Shift TV. What's the best way for somebody as a fan to go about watching it?
Oh, it's super easy. We always tell people just follow us on social media, and it can be we're on all those big social medias on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. But yeah, if you're on there,
what was the old guy like Gary? He don't know what's Snapchat. Okay, and all
so you know that's the thing though. Is almost everybody's on Facebook these days. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Even JJ, he still got MySpace. So.
Yeah, we're not on MySpace. We're thinking about going back.
Yeah, we're towards that.
Yeah. But yeah, if you follow with us, you'll see our schedule, or you just go to speedshifttv.com and find the schedule up there. But it's funny you mention that because we monitor everything. We do a lot of marketing studies. And we monitor our viewership. And for a long time, our age range was like from age 24 to 34 males. That was 82%, I think, of our audience was in that range. And now it's starting to – that age is creeping up.
Uh-huh.
And we're also pulling in more females too. And so the dynamics and the age of the audience is changing, but we're not losing our younger people either. We're still hanging on to that 24 and – lower age range, but we're starting to get older people and they're just getting more savvy with technology. And,
you know, and I think that brings up a good point, like with the, you know, not to say these tracks are suffering from fans in the stand, but I think the attention span of the younger crowd, Justin and younger, you know, they don't have the same attention span anymore because they're used to the, you know, getting stuff fast, getting information fast, getting it now, moving on and all that. And they don't want to necessarily sit and watch a full race, but they can come in and out of a speedshifttv.com event, you know, and watch it live on something like that and still do other things.
They can, but the other part of that too is the tracks themselves and the tracks that you always see about tracks closing and tracks struggling and different things. And the number one thing that a track can change about themselves is to run a fast program. They need to speed up the program. The old school was like 7 hours. You'd be sitting there for 6-7 hours and you'd have all these intermissions and they'd do all this stuff. And that day and age is gone.
Well,
and they need
that.
To realize that.
Yeah.
And if you look at your successful tracks, if you look at Port Royal, if you look at Kokomo, if you look at Marshalltown and some of these other ones, they run a quick program.
Yep.
Marshalltown Speedway, 124 cars. I'll guarantee you, you're out there in less than 3 hours.
I'll guarantee
you that.
Wow.
And I'll guarantee you they start on time. Starting time 7 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock the national anthem is being sung, and there's cars coming out onto the track immediately. And that's the way you have to run the program in this day and age. And if you don't, then you are doomed for failure.
So what do you think some of these tracks have done to speed up that program? Are they like not, are they running less laps? Are they just getting things cleaned up faster?
Transponders and receivers.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Transponders, receivers, and a race director that
even on dirt track, obviously, you know, usually we see, you know, the receivers and stuff on asphalt tracks, but obviously, you know, dirt tracks.
Pretty much everybody's going to it. There's not a lot of transponders in the Midwest, but they're catching on back there. But that's the two big things. And then the other one is, you know, tracks, and I'm going to make some people angry when I say this, but they have a tendency to want to cater to the drivers.
Sure.
And drivers don't want catered to. They just want it to be fair. If you're fair in your tech and you're fair, you treat every driver the same and you give them a good racing surface, they will be there.
Right.
You know, and so they need to cater to the audience more so than the track. And the audience wants to see a quick show. So if you're supposed to have 8 cars in this heat race and only 6 of them showed up and the other 2 are back in the pits, you don't wait on them. You run the heat race and they missed the heat race. I'm sorry about your luck, but you knew the lineup was posted.
Right.
You knew when you were supposed to be there. And that's a big thing to speeding up the show too, is just
sticking to your procedures and rules that you put out.
You hear them out here in Vegas yelling and screaming for these cars, and they're sitting there in lineup, and there's days that we're all sitting in lineup and they're not even in their fire suit yet. And you hear, you hear the lady in the tech barn yelling, you know, the name and the number. I'm like, just let's go.
Learn.
And I think that's a fine line, because some of the tracks don't want to piss off a driver and lose a car or two, or maybe that car has a team of 3 or something like that. So, you know, it sucks, but maybe you just need to move on with the program. Hey, you start in the back, whatever.
And it goes back to where it has to be fair. You can't go without Gary and wait on Justin.
Right.
You have to go without both of them.
Right.
And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, fair from night to night of racing. You know, you can't.
And most of us have done this long enough. We know, you know, we go after like the Bandoleros or
you know
when you're going on that track.
Hey, I'm going to switch topics for you.
Because
he said Bandolero. How about Noah Gregson?
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You had mentioned even last year, hey, one of the guys you might want to try to get on is Noah Gregson.
Yeah.
That was before his big step. So we're going to need your help to get him on now.
But that's what, as soon as you said Bandolero, I pictured him in his Bandolero starting out back to the bull ring.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's cool to see faces like that move up, and you see the younger, you know, the name's the same, but the younger, the kids and all that are starting to move up and getting into these.
Yeah, I actually have him on Snapchat, and I messaged him not too long before he went to Martinsville, and I was joking. I was like, this is the time. Because the first Martinsville race, he finished like 4th his first time at Martinsville.
Yep.
And then I was like, this is it. And then the whole race, I'm sitting there, I'm watching, kind of watching hockey. And then I had the TV on over here watching the race. And I'm like, okay, this is the night. And I even had Buffalo Wild Wings turn the volume on. And we had everybody in Buffalo Wild Wings watching the race, because they found out he was a local and he grew up here and was here.
Right. One thing they didn't want to watch hockey is probably. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I love my hockey.
That is awesome. So cool to see, though. But yeah, I just wanted to give him a little shout out.
Yeah,
just
definitely.
Because it's phenomenal.
Now he's headed to that snowball derby whatever it is.
Yeah, I just saw on Facebook they have their car loaded up and they're heading out. That's in Florida here before too off long. And that's a heck of a race. If he could pull off a win there, my goodness. But yeah, just to see him that far, not just him. I mean, there's other ones up in the ranks as well that started out the bull ring, but that's the bull ring out here. And I tell people this all the time, that the talent that has come out of the bull ring is absolutely second to none. Whenever you compare it to a lot of other tracks in the nation, you know, and everybody talks about Charlotte and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think we could go pound for pound with you from this little dinky 3/8 mile out here.
Like Cole Custer, who's up in the Xfinity, he used to race here every now and then down there.
Oh, yeah.
Irwindale.
Right.
Yep. You can name a ton of them. Alex Bowman.
Yep.
Alex Bowman, who just took over the Earnhardt.
Junior.
Yeah. Yep. That's so cool to see that, too. And he is so deserving of that ride. And
that's another one.
But there you go. Another guy raced at the boring.
Now, that's something you just, you know, if you take the, I guess, the amount of racers from our area and compare it to the amount of talent and racers from Charlottesville or North Carolina, you know, pound for pound, like you said, we got some talented drivers come out of.
I think one of the most talented is Justin Johnson. And I think
if he
ever had the chance to go up again, you know, I know he ran the truck series.
What a class act, too. I would love to see. I know you probably remember Justin Johnson back in the day.
Very much so.
He's you know, another guy, you know, you used to see him in the Legends and Bandoleros or whatever, you know, and just moved up and just, man, that guy's class act, nice guy.
And he
talented.
Is he still working as a driving instructor?
Yes, out at Spring Mountain. So, yeah, love to see him, you know.
Just
progress.
Like Ryan Vargas just got moved up to the K&N.
Yeah, Rhino. Yeah. Yep, that was cool to see.
He was another Vegas, California transfer.
Yep. Have you seen any familiar names in the dirt track around the country that you've been to that, hey, I remember that name from somewhere that maybe it was from back, you know, our area that moved somewhere
there,
else?
You know, and that's, there is, Tim Ward's the first one that comes to mind when you talk about that. Yeah, T-Dub out of Mesa, Arizona, Chandler, Arizona, maybe, or Mesa. I know Mesa Muffler, his father's shop down there. But Tim actually bought a house back in Iowa so he could race in Iowa.
No way.
That's, him and Ricky Thornton Jr. gets around a lot, another racer out of Arizona, and a few other ones. There's a lot of California guys that travel too. Paul Stone, the 66P car, and yeah, you see that. There's, it's funny you, and that was something else I was thinking about earlier on. You'd mentioned a question that kind of triggered that, but the racing community, and I tried to explain this to people. You know, everybody's thinks the racing community is this huge community, and that everybody loves racing. And unfortunately, it's not that way. Right. Even if you include NASCAR into it, we're a very small portion of the population. And we run into the same, not the same fans, but it is the same fans. But we see them in California. We see them in Arizona. We see them in Indiana. We see them in Pennsylvania. Right. It's a very small community. And it's I think sometimes that we need to be reminded of that and kind of look out for each other, because you'll see fans bashing other drivers or tracks or different things like that, and it's like, you don't understand that there's just not that many of us, you know.
Right.
And that's not,
well, that's a good point, you know. You don't think of that a lot.
And even you'll get like the drag racers will bash the circle track guys, or the asphalt guys will bash the you know, dirt track
off-road
guys.
Or
right.
Whatever
off-road, yeah.
And it's like any form of motorsport. I mean, how many people watch NASCAR? And let's take a stab at it, and we'll say 20 million or 30 million people like NASCAR or whatever. Well, there's 300 and some million people in the United States. That's not much of the population.
It's a small percentage. And then you narrow it down further to short tracks, and then dirt, you know, short tracks and dirt asphalt tracks or
yeah, I know
short
what
track,
that's
you know
exactly
what I mean?
Right. Yep. And that's what I always say. We all got to stick together, and that's why I try to, you know, I like tractor pulling, and I try to support pulling community.
Have you been to tractor pulls this past year? I used to go years ago in Florida. We've seen a lot of tractor pulls.
Yeah, I was actually
like that,
the Iowa State Fair. I went to a big pull at the Iowa State Fair.
And, as a fan, or
just as a fan?
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Was out there for that, and actually coming up, Performance Racing Industry Show, PRI is what everybody calls it.
Indiana.
Yep. We'll be there.
Cool.
Speed Shift.
We're
going to
miss it this year, but maybe next year we'll plan on going.
Okay. So here you go. So if you follow Speed Shift TV on Facebook, we're going to do a bunch of Facebook Lives from in there.
Okay.
We're going to talk to a bunch of different people.
Sweet.
But one of the things I'm doing while I'm there is on Thursday, and I want to say it's at 1 o'clock, is a streaming and motorsports symposium, and I'm part of that. I'm going to be on the stage. Two of the, I think there's six of us, are from the polling community, and then there's some drag race. Bang Shift is going to be there, which they do a lot of stuff at the strip out here in Las Vegas. Bang Shift's going to be part of it in that too. So and they asked me if I wanted to be involved, and I said, yeah, I want to be involved because it's a chance to bring all the motorsports kind of
together. Right.
And that's,
That's like,
I feel like
cross promoting, good, you know, just,
but
bring,
it's a good bonding experience. And I feel like that's the key to us being allowed to do what we do, is that everybody kind of has to stick together. If you're involved in motorsports, you need to stick together with anybody, regardless of what they like. Even if you don't like it, you need to support it.
Well, you know, I mean, you know what you like because you've been around it, and to have somebody ask you questions or kind of get interested in some other form of racing or something like that is just amazing. You know, it opens up a whole new world of excitement.
It does.
You know,
and everything in this day and age is moving towards automation, cars that drive themselves, electric cars and different things like that. And it's like, well, we're in a pickle.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, you bring that up, and the technology moves so fast, it's hard to keep up, you know, just like with social media. Yeah, we think, you know, I mean, you guys are, I guess Facebook's your biggest kind of.
That's kind of the dominating one for pretty much everybody.
You know, but there's so much more out there, and you start hearing some of these younger, Justin's young, but he's actually old.
Him. He's actually older than you think he is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's young,
I've been watching him race for a long time.
But you know, guys younger than him that you know on some different social media outlets out there that I probably never even heard of, you know, and I mean, you may have, or, you know, being in the industry and all that, but there's stuff out there that I'm like, what the heck is that?
You know, Snapchat's a prime example. I hate Snapchat. I do not like Snapchat. And I'm on there. I have a personal account on there and I do my thing, but SpeedShift TV has an account. Well, Nate Hartman works with us, and then Grayson Pratt, which is Haley's little brother, and that they a lot of times will take over our Snapchat account and they'll run Snapchat because that's their generation.
That's what they understand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they love it. They love it. And I hate it. And that's just, yeah, it's just the way it is. So.
You know, if somebody goes to speechshifttv.com, can they get to your Facebook page or any of the
other
there's
links
media
for all our social media
okay.
out there.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. you can find us pretty easy.
Right.
We're out there.
Just search either Chet or...
Yeah, just search for Speechshift TV and you'll find everything you need to know.
You know, when you're out there and you see some of these events, obviously you said you do a lot of special events. On these special event nights, what's the main draw? Is it the money, you think, or is it just the these guys are the love of racing and they'll travel to get there?
I've had that conversation before too, and I think that purses can be too big. I think that whenever you start paying, like we did a modified race, it was $50,000 to win.
Holy
and that,
moly!
That scares drivers away.
No, that's a good point. Right.
And they're like, well, if it's $50,000 to win, then you know, so-and-so is going to be there and this guy's going to be there and that guy's going to be there. Well, I'm not going because I can't even make the feature. And that just, and so I think that the key is paying back through the field. But I think drivers are there because ultimately motorsports is you're trying to prove yourself against everybody else. And I think if you, some drivers, maybe not like that, but I think most of them, if you want to be fast, you got to race fast and you want to race the best guys out there to see how you stack up, you know?
Right. No, it seems like there's always, you know, kind of a mix. You know, you got the guys that just, hey, I just love to be part of the racing. So they show up, they race, they might not have the sponsors or the best equipment or anything like that, but they're there. They help make, they make the
car. And they are.
Up.
And I always point out, and I think I said this on this show before, because this is my saying, is that fans in the stands should never, ever, ever belittle a driver that's on the racetrack, no matter how poorly they're doing, because every time they pass by the grandstand, they put you a lap down.
Yeah.
And that's what, if you're not out on the track, then they're faster than you are, and you should be. And that's one thing I never ever speak poorly about a driver that's on the track. I don't care how bad they're doing. I'm just glad that they're out there and they're trying, because I'm not.
Right.
I never was, you know, I never raced circle track.
Sure.
So. I can agree to that, because the first time I ever went to a dirt track was Front Valley, and I remember Chet was the announcer, and there's a video on YouTube. And it's Chet, and you just see me not knowing dirt very well. No. And you hear Chet, just let it go, Justin. Come on, you can do it, Justin.
and that's part of it is, you know, as an announcer, I guess, to inform maybe some of the fans that have never been to a track or something before to understand. You know, like I joke about hockey, but the reason I don't like hockey, not that I don't like hockey, I don't understand hockey. You know, and these guys say, hey, if you knew the rules and this and that, you might like it. You know, it's the same thing. You might bring some new fan base sitting in the stands. If they don't understand what's going on, I see that not just at our local track, at different tracks that I've been to, is sometimes the announcer doesn't point out certain things that help, you know, the fans understand what's going on.
And that goes back to something else. I've mentioned this on the on this show before too, but Bob Fry with NHRA was a longtime announcer with NHRA, and he is absolutely hands down my most favorite announcer ever. And he was very good at that. He was very good at explaining a sport in such a way that people that have been involved with the sport weren't offended by it.
Right.
And the new people coming in understood it. And he was a master of that. And that is harder to do than you think.
You know, and that's important because I've been in the stand and I've heard people, you know, like just as asphalt late models and super late models, they look the same, that they're, you know, some modifieds look like other cars. And I've heard fans, like, didn't these just come out? And, you know, what are these? And you don't hear any explanation, even a short, just a brief, you know, hey, here's the difference. And that's why, you know.
Yep.
Just like I've never been into drag racing, but now that I'm working for Silver State.
A lot of the guys are into drag racing there.
The owner of the company is Shane Thompson, who's a drag racer. And we started talking, and he was like, you've never been to a drag race. I was like, I never got into it.
Right.
And then it's funny because one of the guys that he's technically my boss knows you. And his name's Carl Canazzo.
Oh, yeah. The pizza man. I know the pizza man.
And he's a drag racer.
let me tell you a little secret about Carl. Carl is a badass. He is a badass drag racer. If he tells you something about drag racing, listen, because I watched him win a lot of races.
Really?
He's very good. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yep, the pizza man.
I used to work security out there, and that's actually how I met him originally. And he was just always in a good mood when he was at the racetrack. Mm-hmm. And I got to watch him a couple times with Don Simpson, who used to work the lineup out at the drag strip.
Uh-huh.
And he made me go up there and watch Carl race. And I was like, okay, this guy's pretty good at what he does. And the way he talks, and he's always smiling about racing. And
yep.
He makes, you know, we go work on the cars. Shane, the owner of the company, that's what we do sometimes when we're slow at work. We'll go work on his dragsters, and it makes me kind of like,
well,
okay.
Don't complain about working at the
yeah,
time, okay?
Tony Kramer. You need to hang out in the race shop.
Every now and then.
Can this be?
Is there a story behind the pizza man, why he's not called the Stromboli man? Or
I've heard that nickname a couple times, and I have no clue.
I've just always heard him called the pizza man. I don't know. As long as I've known him, he's the pizza man.
That's your next job. Let's find out about the pizza man, okay?
Yeah. And actually, if you could get him on the show, it'd be interesting to talk to him, too. But, yeah, he is a phenomenal drag racer.
Yeah, we'll have to definitely do that. So, and we'll find out the stories, but I guess some of the races that you've seen to make him the pizza man.
Yeah, the pizza man. I guess maybe because he always delivers.
It could be something that simple, right?
Or he's Italian. Right?
That could be it too.
Be that too. Avoid the noid, right? Remember that?
Yeah, there you go.
So, but hey, you know, if you don't know who Chet is, look him up at speedshifttv.com. A lot of races coming up. You said you got, what, three more events?
Yeah, we have three
year?
More events, too, that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
And then one is the Junior Canepra 55, an indoor midget race. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was there last year and raced in.
Cool.
There's a lot of big names. Sunshine, Tyler Courtney won it. He's your defending champ, and that's a name that's kind of in the dirt track world right now. He's had a stellar year. But that's coming up. It's an indoor race. It's a purpose-built indoor facility, so it's not like they threw – dirt down somewhere and are just hoping it's a racetrack. It's an indoor racetrack.
For
yep.
Racetrack.
Just
wow.
For midgets and micro sprints and stuff. But that is on December the 16th and it'll be live on Speed Shift TV. And it's a phenomenal event. It's fun to watch.
You got a lot of good ventilation there.
They do.
Tired fans.
Yeah, no, it's built for what they're doing. So it's awesome. And
that's
it'll
cool.
Be jam packed with people. That's the best part.
And where's that at again?
DeQuoin, Illinois.
DeQuoin, Illinois.
Yep.
Okay. So if you don't want to fly to DeQuoin, Illinois, go to speedshifttv.com and you can watch the race.
Yep. But again, and the other thing is follow us on Facebook for PRI. We're going to be talking. And I'll throw this out to you guys. Since you can't go this year, for somebody that you really wanted to see at PRI, let us know and we'll do an interview with them.
You're really?
We'll
okay.
Try to track them down, whether it's a vendor or a sanction or whatever. You know,
so,
that's just, yeah.
You know, so again, if I wanted to find out more, best way through Facebook, is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, that's
Facebook
the,
Live. Is that?
Yeah, we're going to be on Facebook Live because it's easier to reach people that way. But
okay.
Yeah, we're also on, you can tweet at us on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. But yeah, Twitter and Facebook are two ways to really communicate with us if you have
right.
questions about that stuff.
We try to leave the tweeting to the to Trump.
To
and
the
then we do, yeah.
Is yeah. Your other two shows this year going to be on Speed Shift?
They are.
Okay.
Yep.
So to keep
yeah,
up to date,
are.
Since they're so secret, speedshifttv.com or Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's your Facebook.
Just Speed Shift TV.
Speed Shift TV.
Yep,
okay.
Just Speed Shift. We're Speed Shift TV on everything.
Okay.
Everything's the same.
Okay.
Yep.
Keep up to date on that. You guys will probably be announcing that, what, within a week?
You know,
days
I don't know. That's
the
kind
show,
of that's
or?
Haley's little shindig. And
I'll
look
for it on.
I really want to tell you what it is now.
No. We'll look
yeah.
for it on WikiLeaks.
There you go.
Yeah. Just keep an eye on speedshifttv.com and go to your Facebook page and we'll kind of keep an eye there. But how long are you in town for?
I fly out next week for PRI and then I'll be back for a couple of days and then I fly out for Illinois and then I'm going home for Christmas and I'm just going to stay back in Pennsylvania. Western Maryland, Western PA. My mom's in Pennsylvania and Sean Warrior in Maryland, but I'll be back there for Christmas and then I'll stay back there until January the 3rd. Then I go to Talladega for the Ice Bowl, the late model racing. And
that,
then
is that a big show?
Oh yeah.
It starts
yeah.
off the...
Yeah. That race is insane. It's they run, I forget how many divisions they run down there, but late models obviously are the big, you know, they'll have crate lates and then I think they also have open late models.
Do you see many stock car type, or is it mostly like the lates, the modified type stuff?
It's funny you say that. Our top 20 videos, I would want to say probably five or six of the videos are stock cars.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that because, you know, it seems like a starting to become a dying breed. You know, parts are getting hard to get. And stuff like that,
well,
so.
The IMCA stock cars are growing. A lot of the modified guys, it seems like they went to a crate motor and a modified, and like, some people are not happy about that,
sure.
Which I'm a supporter of it because I know for a fact that I've talked to teams that it has saved their race program because they don't have to spend $12,000. But a lot of the modified guys that aren't happy about it are moving into stock cars now, and stock cars are kind of taking off again. So
cool. Yeah. Well, I'd like to see that. And I know, you know, IMCA had their stock car, you know, hobby stock rule package and all that, and they used to run those, but didn't seem like it took off for a long time.
Yeah, and that's the hobby stocks are like a factory stock that
sure.
you guys run out here. Even a bomber is almost a hobby stock,
right.
Or maybe a little bit more than a hobby stock now I think about it. But yeah, the stock cars are a separate division, and it's they're taking off in Arizona. You're starting to see more stock cars down in Arizona and Colorado and stuff.
Yeah, you know, I think the crate motor program is just not going to go away. Obviously, it's just growing and growing. I know IMCA came out with like their sport mod with the like originally with the crate motor package, but now like their regular IMCA has
a crate
package now, and then there's just so much involved, and it's cool. It opens it up a little bit and makes it more competitive.
And like I said, it's one of those things where it's a love it or hate it. People say that it takes away from the engine builders and stuff. But like I said, I've talked to many teams that said if it wouldn't be for the crate motor, then we couldn't afford to do this. And so I think it actually is saving racing.
Yeah. And obviously like you talk to the local shops, like, you know, Resnowicki or Keller or any of them guys here locally, they will probably be somewhat opposed to crate motor type racing.
I get it from their aspect too, but it's the other part of it is there's still guys that want to run built motors, and so they're still out there. You know,
yeah,
and
they have that option. Obviously, in most of these roll packages, you have an option of an open motor or
look at the Bullring. You know, you go into the super lates, and that there's what three or four different engine combinations that you can run.
Yeah.
It's
funny you bring that up. Like beginning of the year, I looked at that and I was like confused. I was like, man, I can't even keep up. There's so many different motor options.
Yeah.
You do this, do that. And I wish it was kind of, you know, toned down a little bit, but not that I'm ever going to super lates, but
it opens it up for a lot of different racers and a lot of different, you know, you feel you can compete.
You know, that's something if you're interested in that division, you're going to understand it, you know, because I'm not interested in racing super lates. I just didn't look into it enough to understand it.
Yeah.
But you got a list of, sponsors or anybody like that besides the SpeedShift TV, yourself,
Really
family or anybody like that? Just your
motorhome?
What brand do you live in?
An R-Pod.
A Winnebago?
I have a little R-Pod. I want to trade in on Airstream. Actually, I got to drive by the Airstream.
They're coming back. Right?
Boy, I wish I could afford one.
Did you see them?
Wow. Can you believe how much them things
are?
It's
crazy.
Man.
Yeah, but
they have a whole dealership over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I just can't believe that.
Yeah. There's one sponsor that I'll give a shout out to, and we always support it on our broadcast, and that's Driven to Save Lives.
Okay.
With Brian Clausen, whenever he passed away, that was kind of a big push was for to be an organ donor. And I've been an organ donor since I had my license, but I learned just this summer that that doesn't mean you're an organ donor everywhere. It makes it a lot easier if you're on the National Registry, and that's what Driven to Save Lives is all about. And
I didn't know that.
And you can be an organ donor all the way up until late in life. You would be surprised, like skin cells and stuff like that, that you can donate even whenever you're 70 or 80 years old. And so I encourage everyone to check out. It's Driven and then the number 2. So Driven 2 Save Lives, and I think it's .org. But if you just do a search for it, you'll find it and support
that.
Be an organ donor.
Yeah, definitely look into that. Yeah, I didn't realize, you know, it's not just, you know, something on your driver's license. You say, hey, it's got to be a national.
Yeah, because if not, they have to go through a big rigmarole going back to your home state and everything else, and it delays it, and sometimes it takes a little bit too long. So, but yeah, if you're on the National Registry, then it speeds everything up. And so,
of course, you know, 90 seconds left. Never enough time to talk to you, Chet. You know, we look forward to it. A lot more questions for you, but we'll have to wait till our holiday special next year.
I just want
to say thank you for joining us.
Thanks
every year
for
like
having
this
me.
The
I'm
last
sorry,
couple years
sorry
or
JJ
so.
Wasn't here.
Yeah, me too.
Justin's
a
good substitute.
Yeah, he's a little more quiet than JJ, but he's all right.
With you two, it was kind of your show. So.
Again, Chet, appreciate it. And we want to put it out there. Everybody go to speedshifttv.com. Click on the link to get to the Facebook page. We're going to look for you for the PRI show coming up. And
awesome.
And secret races coming up.
We'll find out about those secret races.
I'll tell you after we're off here.
There you go. Hey, we won't let it leak.
That's right.
You can join us here live next Tuesday at 6 p.m.
PM at onwheelsnow.com, and we'll see Casey back here next week. So, and well, thank you guys. Thanks,
thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks so much.
It.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for being here, Scott.